107 DGS on KMOX. We have the Think Tank coming up with Braxton Payne and Jared Young, who is running for Senate against Hawley and Kuntz. That'll be at 4 p.m. I should have brought this up during the first hour, although it's a pretty heavy topic to bring up in the first hour. But Amy and Chris are way more into this story, know way more about it. But Marcellus Williams, who is scheduled to be put to death tonight, and I don't know the ins and outs of this case. So that's not why I'm bringing it up. I don't have a lot to offer on the specifics. But it just strikes me as a human just how uncomparable it must be to be experiencing what he is now, even if he's guilty. I mean, he's still a human being who's alive and young and not going to die unless the state makes him die in a few hours. It just, I don't know.
Yeah. I get what you're saying. Putting aside, you know, whether or not someone deserves this, just knowing, okay, at 6 o'clock tonight or whenever it is, that's when I'm going to draw my final breath.
Yes.
Most people don't know that. They might know that it's coming. They're sick. It's going to happen at some point. But to know, like, I have an appointment for my life to be over has got to be an incredibly bizarre feeling. I mean, it makes me sick to think about it, but yeah, it's really unimaginable.
And I get, you know, having been a lawyer and studied it, I you don't have to be a lawyer. In every situation in life, in every company in life, in every family in life, there's like a chain of command, right? And I'm only responsible for this, and after that, it's Steve. And Steve's only responsible for that, and then it's Becky. And then Becky has a boss, and it just goes on and on and on. And so Governor Parson was talking about this last night because he has said, I'm not going to pardon. I'm not going to grant clemency. We're going to carry out the wishes of the people of the state of Missouri. I get that. I don't think it's a cop-out. I think it gives him cover because he was not the trier of fact. He wasn't on the jury. He wasn't the judge all those many, many years ago. The prosecutor put on the case. The gentleman had defense. He was found guilty. He had multiple appeals. They have failed to gain traction. And I understand why he would say, this is what I'm going to do. I have a bit of an issue with Andrew Bailey. He just seems like a mean jerk to me. But it's his job to look out for the state of Missouri. And he might even have personal feelings that are different. I doubt it. But even if he had personal feelings, softer personal feelings, it's his job to represent what the state of Missouri wants. So I get that too. Everyone's doing their job, hopefully. I'm a little surprised that something hasn't broken loose, though, just knowing the few facts that I do and the mishandling of evidence and, you know, questionable jury selections and things like that. I guess what I'm trying to say is if we were at happy hour and someone brought up the death penalty, I don't have a go-to like, oh, screw them. If someone killed my family member, I'd want to do it myself. And I'm also not a bleeding heart liberal where it's like, oh, we can never do this. If I could make the choice, we wouldn't do it. Because when it gets down to, like, now...
Well, you don't want to make a mistake.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, there's nothing good about spending the rest of your life in prison. I would also, if I were the powers that be, would want to know what the family thought. You know, the family of the victim.
Apparently, the family of the victim does not want this to happen.
The family of the victim doesn't want it to happen. The defense doesn't want it to happen. The prosecution actually does not want it to happen. The prosecutors are now
Wesley Bell has filed.
We're not 110%.
Motions to vacate. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying is that when every person who goes to, you know, the execution chamber, there are arguments made, even if they're just dead to rights, guilty, and there's not really much of a question about it. There are forces that will always fight it just based on the death penalty being wrong. But in this case, there just seems, I was listening to Chris and Amy a few weeks ago, and they were talking about it. And within about 5 minutes, they had me like, yeah, this probably shouldn't happen. I mean, there can be one glaring mistake, or there can just be a brick wall of smaller mistakes. But either way, like what Andrew just said, when the prosecuting attorney wants to vacate and local judges and the family of the victims, like, if ever you're going to make that decision.
Yeah, you want beyond the shadow of a reasonable doubt. And there does seem to be at least a shadow here.
Yeah.
If it were up to me, this would only happen if you had them like live streaming the crime. In other words, like, we can see you doing this. Okay, this is 100%. But in most cases, I'm against it because it's like, there are people who are in prison who are innocent, or maybe not innocent of everything, but didn't commit the crime that they're in prison for. I mean, I would just want to be 100% sure. Yeah. And there are people who are okay with not being 100% sure.
I do think there are people who are like too dangerous to be let back out into normal society. But I also don't see any reason why they can't just be in prison. You know what I mean? I don't see any need to execute them. I don't have any desire to see them executed. I have a desire to see them outside of normal society, you know, in a prison system or whatever, but I don't have any desire to, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like they must die.
Yeah, I have no bloodlust.
Yeah.
Do you feel like in your lifetimes the death penalty will go away?
Probably.
I don't know.
It doesn't seem very it doesn't seem like a rallying cry for many people, you know.
True.
And like I said, especially whenever when you do have DNA evidence or something to link it, and it's like, okay, this actually happened. Okay, that's one thing. But if there is any doubt there, it shouldn't be happening. And there's doubt in most cases. Like you said, Dave, like you trust the justice system that the jury is going to get it right in most cases. And that's great. But unless I'm saying the same thing over and over again, and I need to just stop. But unless you, like, it's for sure we have you on camera doing it, I don't think you can do that with a clear conscience.
Yeah.
And also, it just kind of throws the idea of any sort of rehabilitation completely out the window, right? It's like, well, you're spoiled. You're done forever. Goodbye.
Well, and that part of it, too. Ideally, now, I kind of tend to fall more on the side of that our prison system is not so much built on rehabilitation. It's more built on punishment.
Well, yeah.
But ideally, isn't it meant to be rehabilitation? And if that's going to be the case, if you're going to have the option for rehabilitation, why is there also an option for, yeah, we can just gut you right now?
I mean, I think it's more complicated. I do think, and especially in our conversations with Jeff Smith, who spent a year in federal prison, that it could be much better. But I think it depends on the crime. I am pretty hard-ass when it comes to violent criminals. I don't have a lot of sympathy, even if I hear their backstory and it's a sad backstory and they ended up in a life of crime. I just think that even if you grew up terribly and poor and very few choices, if you take a knife or a gun and you stick it into another person, or you point it at another person and pull the trigger and you hurt them or you kill them, I'm okay with you being gone for good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel a great need to extend our powers to rehabilitate you so that you can come back and have a normal life.
Mm-hmm.
Fair, unfair, but I think there are people who can do violence and there are people who can't. And once you've proven that you're someone who can, I don't know.
I think everyone's capable of violence.
Yeah, but there's capable and there's capable and does it.
Right.
Like, I think everyone is capable of most anything.
Mm-hmm.
But when someone has demonstrated that they are willing to do it, and it's not in self-defense, it's not they're protecting someone else, they were trying to take someone's stuff, and they didn't want to give it up, and they killed them, or they just shot people randomly at a coffee shop, whatever that happens to be, I lose my incentive to rehabilitate them, and I just want them gone. I don't need them to be mistreated. I don't need the Constitution to be violated, but I don't care if they just go away.
Right, but don't you think just putting them away and not striving toward any sort of betterment. I mean, that's just a waste. That's a waste of, like Jeff Smith said, it's a waste of human potential. Because if you're just sitting, I'm not saying like, oh, we have to get them all back out on the street. I agree. I think there are people who should be in prison for life, but there should be programs to rehabilitate them while they're there to hopefully get them to a better place rather than just like, oh, yeah, you're just going to rot.
Intellectually, I would agree with you. Emotionally, I would not.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, if someone is sentenced to 20 years, they're not sentenced to life. And unless they commit another crime in the jail, they're going to get out in 20 years or sooner than that. And I would rather a functioning human come out than an animal. So intellectually, I agree with you. But I have a quicker punch your card than you do, I think, for things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That I'm more concerned with society than I am that person.
Yeah, and I get what you're saying, but the thing is, society is better when those individuals can come out into a better place. Like, if you are just going to leave prison and go right back to a life of crime because you have no other options, that's why I'm so pro, like, having programs for people and getting them to a better place before they get out.
Because if that's going to be the case, then it almost should be like every prison sentence should just be life in prison. Because if we're not going to give you any other options once you get out, except for...
Well, there are people who intentionally go right back to prison because they've lost all connection to the outside world. And they don't feel like they can function in society anymore. So it's like, all right, I'll just go back into the prison system because this is all I know.
Yeah, I just have a special cutout for violent offenders.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's drugs or it's white collar crime or, you know, obviously if you're in prison, you did something pretty bad according to society and the judge and the jury and the system, and you deserve to be there. But again, I want a functioning human being to come out, not a worse human being. But when it comes to violent offenders, my emotion trumps my intellect a lot of the time. You're right. I have had a cool life. I got to sing that 100 times with Jimmy Griffin.
That's awesome.
Isn't that cool?
Mm-hmm.
Really fun. By the way, I was complimenting you earlier on the Rachel Zimmerman show. Rach has been cutting up bits of her show for her one-year anniversary show. The Jimmy Griffin I had not heard was really good.
Oh, thanks. Well, yeah. He's great. So
yeah.
He was one of my first guests. He was like maybe my fourth or fifth guest I ever had on.
Yeah, I needed to listen to that whole thing. I learned things about Jim I didn't know. Want some fun facts?
Absolutely.
The reason baseball and basketball teams wear dark jerseys for road games is because the away teams originally didn't have access to washing machines, so they needed the darker jerseys to conceal the dirt.
Huh. That makes sense.
Yeah.
It's kind of gross, but
yeah,
that is a fun fact.
Yeah, makes sense. That brings back a memory. The first time I remember having success or being proud of something was my seventh grade year. Tried out for the basketball team, and I wasn't going to be a starter, but if you made the away team, because they're like 20 kids, and they take 10 kids to travel, and so the coach was passing out the home jerseys. Everyone got one of those, and then he was passing out the away jerseys, and I got one. And I got on the late bus and I went home and I did my mom and dad and I was wearing it and I took my coat off. I'm like, ha. And my memory is their reaction was less than stellar. They're like, whatever.
They're like, oh.
But that was such a cool thing. Remember anything like that from early on?
I just remember, you know, like traveling for volleyball games and like feeling so cool. And this is how cheap McDonald's was back then. My mom would give us like $5 because the soccer team and the volleyball team would drive together. She would give us like $5-$7. And my brother and I would both eat off of that.
Yeah.
Like we would eat like kings. It was wonderful. Yeah. But no, just like traveling and stopping at the fast food joint and like seeing the other school was always really fun.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Euphonium?
Oh, yeah. We traveled all over the place in marching band. We traveled to Mattoon. I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah, they give a lot of
Muskuda?
Sometimes, never as far as Muskuda, I don't think. No, we would travel to, pretty much every weekend during the fall. We would travel all over going to the various competitions at some high schools and universities.
Did you travel with the football team?
No. So we would play the home games. And then we would go to, they were our own, they were dedicated, like, marching band competitions.
Oh, okay, that's
that
fun.
That you'd go to on Saturdays. Yeah, they were a total blast. And then the end of the year was always, we would play at the Dome. The Greater...
Whoa.
Greater Mid-America, I think it's called. Or maybe it's just Mid-America marching band competition. And that was always the biggest one of the year. Bands from all over the general region would come and coalesce on the
Dome. It's a lot of hotness.
You'd play it. Oh, yeah.
And you were the hottest guy there.
That's true. I was. And I would play out on the Dome, and people would be up in the nosebleeds going, oh, my God.
Andrew's band camp.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Pot?
Who is that?
Welcome back, guys. DGS 334. If you would like to help the Glover family do some good, Next Generation is stepping up. Phoebe Glover at KU and Tridelt, they're doing a one-day fundraiser for St. Jude Children's Hospital. So we have a link on the Facebook page. I did it myself. It's very easy to do. You can use PayPal or Venmo, $5, $10, whatever you can afford. Phoebe would appreciate it. And don't forget, if she brings in $500, she gets a tumbler.
There you go.
Yeah. She was like, Dad, you could probably just do that. I'm like, I could buy a bunch of tumblers, too.
That's it. I mean, $500 for a tumbler, that's a pretty good deal. I mean, I don't know if you've seen prices on them things nowadays, but...
She was so adorable because she didn't say it ironically. Mm-hmm. She was like, if I bring in $500, I get a tumbler. And I'm like, these guys don't know how to incentivize.
Or they do. I mean, it's working.
I guess they do. Yeah
she's like, it's working.
Fewer things a 19-year-old wants more than a new tumbler.
Phoebe,
tell you that.
Hey, Dave, by the way, not meaning to ignore you.
No.
I'm sure Phoebe is proud of her dad, but she's not a fan. You know what I mean? Like, she is not impressed by the DGS. And so today when she sent me and Nick and Maureen a text saying, hey, this is live if you guys want to make a Glover family donation. And I texted her privately because I didn't want to be embarrassed in front of the rest of the family. And I'm like, hey, would you like me to put this on my Facebook page? Knowing she was going to go, oh, my God, that is the last thing in the world I want you to do. Are you kidding me? And she was like, that would be awesome. So
cool.
She wants that tumbler.
Her eyes are just tumblers.
All that really starts to change as they grow older.
Yeah,
they
I hope
start
so.
I'll speak from experience. They start to appreciate what you did and what you're doing as a dad.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
How hard it is.
Yeah, I definitely appreciated my parents more as I grew older.
Oh, I thought my mom and dad had been kicked in the head by a horse. I thought there was really something physically wrong with them.
I was a real little jerk when I was early high school. I started to.
No, you were a hot euphoniam player.
Yeah.
Yeah. Euphoniam. I was going.
I think there's a class.
Competitions.
There's a class in high school that, you know, how to really dislike your parents.
Oh, yeah.
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 That's the indoctrination, I think, that kids are really going through in high school.
That's why it's so tough, you know, to get through these years, because having been that person who is not great to my parents and didn't appreciate them, and then you grow out of it, you know, it's probably going to happen, but you're still waiting to see if that flower blooms.
But you're still like, maybe I did everything just in the right way.
When Dave, I don't know if I've told you these stories before, but you'll appreciate them. When Nick was in ninth grade, and he was at a new high school, and he came home and he goes, man, we had the worst speaker today. This guy was so boring and just, it was just death. And I go, and you know, the whole family's there. And I go, well, you know what? If you ever want me to come to your school and speak, I'd be happy to. And you know, Nick is not an S talker. Nick is a sweetheart. Mm-hmm. And he goes, I don't understand what you're saying. I said, well, I do a lot of public speaking, and I go to, you know, schools and colleges, and I give this little talk, and I'd be happy to do it at your school. And he goes, if you ever come to my school, all I ask is that you don't make eye contact with anyone. It's like, he's like, I get that people think you're cool, but I'm your son, and I'm sure Mick Jagger's son doesn't think he's especially cool. And Maureen was dying laughing. She was loving it. Because I was like, what?
What could you possibly mean by this?
And then you're my boy.
And then one time, Dave, I famously have never owned a suit since I started radio. And when Phoebe was about 7, I borrowed a buddy's suit, Matt McDonald, and I had it altered to fit me. Probably not the nicest thing I've ever done. Because I had to wear it to this one event, and I came walking down the big staircase at the house, and Phoebe was there, and I'm wearing a suit, and she goes, "Wow, Dad, you look like one of those guys." Completely true story. And I go, "Oh, which guys?" And I'm waiting for like James Bond or a CEO or a super rich guy. And she goes, "You know, like guys that have a job."
You make it sound like My Fair Lady or something. You come walking down the steps and everybody's like, "Whoa," and applauding.
Oh, I was. That's been the story of my family life. It's like waiting for the applause and only getting like, yeah, it's
I remember when I worked at Kohl's, well, work in quotation marks at Kohl's, there was a guy who was like one of the managers. He was like, I think the loss prevention manager. And he said something about, you know, he was probably like, you know, around 40 at the time. And he said something to me about working there. And I was like, well, I mean, until I get like a, you know, like a job. He was like, "What do you mean?" I was like a real job, you know, not working at Kohl's, like a real job. And he seemed really upset and offended by that. And I swear it took me like a decade to realize, like, oh, that was like a super rude, stupid,
awful thing.
Yeah,
to say.
Really awful thing to say to him. And it literally,
you're like, "What am I gonna be 40 working here?"
Yeah, like 16 to 26. I was like, what was his problem? And then I was like, oh, that one's on me.
I was sitting in the back of a pumpkin wagon working at Losh Farms with a bunch of 15, 16, 17-year-olds and a 48-year-old. And the first day he joined the team, and we were riding out there, and no one was saying anything. And he just goes, "Look, boys, my life has not gone the way I planned." I know. It was funny but sweet. And
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I remember at 17 going like, yeah.
And for what it's worth, the guy that I said that to, he had a great job. He was like the loss prevention manager at Kohl's. That's a fine job. But I, you know, I was a jerk.
Yes. That's one way to put it. Yeah. I was thinking of a couple of other terms.
Yeah, when I was 16.
Dave, are we starting to get back into the ramp-up stage?
This is going to be really interesting. Let's just break down the stuff that I know right now. Couple of spotty little showers into the evening, no big deal. Otherwise, skies go partly cloudy overnight. Tomorrow's a spectacular day, partly to mostly sunny skies. It's nice, 76 degrees, dry from start to finish. Wednesday night is fine, partly cloudy, 62. Thursday, partly sunny, but skies will be increasing in cloudiness. And we'll start to see some moisture stream up from the Gulf of Mexico with some developing showers and thunderstorms, non-severe. But it might take all day for that to happen on Thursday. I think we're going to squeeze out some dry time, 75. Then the tropical moisture gets into play Thursday night, Friday night, periods of showers, couple of thunderstorms, nothing severe, 67 Thursday night, 73 on Friday, and in the 60s on Friday night. The weekend is still very much in question because the track of this storm, which just got a name, Helene, it's got a long way to go. Does look like it's going into the panhandle of Florida, and it will be a major hurricane, and then it's going to turn to the north and northwest. Really unusual for us. And that's the question. How far northwest does it go? Right now, I'm thinking St. Louis is right on the line. The further west you go, maybe no rain. The further east you go, the more rain you're going to see. But exactly how much rain is very up in the air. And I always say, this is like forecasting a winter storm and making a guess of snowfall amounts 5 days in advance.
Gotcha.
And you know it can't be done.
Yeah.
It just can't be done.
Yeah.
So let's play it by ear. I think it's looking a little better for less rain right now for the weekend. But there should be a fair amount of rain Thursday night, Friday night.
Let me push you on it a little bit. Would you be surprised if it turned into a real event in St. Louis?
Multiple
inches of rain.
I would be surprised at that. Yes.
Okay, fair enough.
With that said, I think we could easily see an inch of rain Thursday night, Friday night.
Okay, got it. And St. Louis is kind of the cutoff. And I'm saying that selfishly because Phoebe is driving home from KU, so on her drive home, she'll be good till she gets to St. Louis, and then you don't know.
Well, when's she making that drive?
Afternoon.
On Saturday.
On Friday.
On Friday. She'll be wet.
Oh, damn it.
She'll be wet. But she'll have a brand new tumbler.
Yes. Yes.
That will carry her through.
Positive thinking. I like it. All right. Well, it's going to be interesting to see how this, it's so crazy. I was in Colorado, I believe, when the last tropical storm hit St. Louis. Remember that? And you guys got quite a bit of rain, didn't you?
Yeah. But that's, when we get lots of rain from a tropical storm, it hits West Texas and comes up the Mississippi Valley. That's what's weird about this, because of a blocking pattern in the atmosphere. For a storm to hit North Florida and turn towards St. Louis, as I said yesterday, once-in-a-lifetime event.
Wow. How bad do you think it's going to be in Florida, Dave?
I think, the exact hit, but it's going to be a big storm. So, don't focus on the hit point. I think the Panhandle, Florida, maybe all the way down to Tampa. It's not going to be pretty. It's probably going to be an easy Category 3 storm.
Wow. It's been a little less active this season than we thought so far, right?
So far. But remember, September is the peak of the season. And all it takes is one or two, and everybody goes, that was terrible.
Yeah, and some of the worst ones.
You're right. It's been a little slow.
And some of the worst ones we've had have been in like late October, right?
Yeah, it's been September, October.
Yeah.
To get one in late October is pretty rare, but it can happen.
All right, brother. Looking forward to seeing you on Friday.
Yes.
350 DGS, we have a think tank coming up with senatorial candidate Jared Young and Braxton Payne at 4 p.m. Headlines?
Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. All right, we've been talking about this quite a bit, and now it has been passed under a new law. California schools must restrict student cell phone use on campus. California Governor Gavin Newsom signed this new legislation into law, aiming to curb cell phone use during the school day, saying, "We know that excessive smartphone use increases anxiety, depression, and other mental health issues, but we have the power to intervene. This new law will help students focus on academics, social development, and the world in front of them, not their screens, when they're in school. It goes into effect on July 1st, 2026.
So, as I understand it, one of the rubs is that parents have now become spoiled being able to get in a hold of their kids at school.
Yeah.
And of course, if the unthinkable happens and your kid's school gets locked down and they don't have a cell phone to reach out to you. So parents, as I understand it, in California, in mass, are saying, we get it. We don't like the screens either, but until we get a hold on these school shootings, they have to have access.
I completely agree.
I think it's fair.
I don't care for this law at all. I think kids that are in schools right now have so many more problems that are causing them. And I'm not just talking about shootings. There's, drugs. There's your friends are getting on drugs. There's, I'm having problems with this girl I like or whatever it might be. I just don't. I like to say that it's that these kids have their phones all day and it's making them, it's giving them anxiety. It's like, no, come on. No, it's way more important to be able to have access to your loved ones and your family. And I mean, you say the unthinkable. What if the unthinkable happens? It's a lot more thinkable now than it's ever been before.
Yep.
And I don't like the law.
Donald Trump is hosting an October rally at the site of his first assassination attempt. In Butler, Pennsylvania. It's going on October 5th. Trump wrote, "I will be going to Butler, Pennsylvania for a big and beautiful rally honoring the soul of our beloved firefighting hero, Corey, and those brave patriots injured." He had written this on July 26th. He said, "Injured 2 weeks ago. What a day it will be. Fight, fight, fight. Stay tuned for details." Well, now we know that it's going on October 5th. Yeah. I mean, I got to say, if someone almost shot me somewhere, I'm probably never going back to that
site. It's good theater.
Let's see. Kmart's blue light is fading to black.
Oh, this hurts.
With the shuttering of its last full-scale U.S. store.
Wow.
Yeah, it's
I didn't
sad.
Know they still had a store.
It was located in Bridgehampton, New York on Long Island. It's slated to close on October 20th. This is according to an employee who answered the phone at the store late on Monday. The manager wasn't available. This will leave only a small Kmart store in Miami. It also has a handful of stores in Guam and the U.S. Virgin Islands. But that's the last full-scale U.S. store.
And I know it's generational. Kmart, to me, is just, you know, it. But it's clearly inferior to Target. Like, Target's a really nicer Kmart.
Yeah.
But being a kid from South Roxana, Kmart was like a mall. It was just like they had toys, they had sporting goods, they had women's laundry.
They had the icy machine and popcorn.
Yeah. Yes.
Kmart was the spot in Alton, and then Alton got a Target.
Yeah.
And then that was kind of the nail in the coffin.
I don't know. I'm not a shopper, and I'm not a Target shopper in particular, but Target doesn't seem as fun as Kmart. Now, maybe that's because
it's
I was at
fun.
Kmart when I was 10.
Right.
And I was at Target when I was 58. But there's just something festive.
There's no blue lights anywhere.
Yeah. There's no gimmicks.
Stupid red targets. Little dog with the bullseye around his eye. I will push back and say that Target is one of the most fun places you could ever go.
Yeah. See, it's so generational.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I loved going to Kmart, too, whenever I was a kid. And especially, they had a great clearance section at Kmart that you just don't see at every store.
Hmm. Never noticed
kind
that.
Of poke around and see what you can get for like $2. It was pretty
I was busy
sweet.
Following the blue light into the women's brassiere department.
Yeah.
Oh, you said brassiere. I'm sorry. I thought you said something else. Probably wondering why I'm here.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.